Well, we want to talk tonight about how to transform sources of irritation into sources of spiritual motivation. And fact is that every one of us has experienced sources of irritation. Their harm or benefit can be compared to a grain of sand. In the eye, a grain of sand will cause irritation, possible infection, loss of vision. But in the oyster, it will cause an irritation, then a concretion, and then a pearl. I'm not sure if the pearl's any benefit to the oyster, but benefit to everybody else. Both insight and discernment are needed to identify and then transform sources of irritation into spiritual motivation. Think about identifying irritations. You say, I don't have any problem with that. I know several. But many of our attitudes and our actions are actually influenced more than we realize by that which irritates us. Therefore, it is extremely important we identify and transform every source of irritation. In other words, to make it less harmful irritation and more beneficial. So let's identify three major sources of irritation. Possibly not all inclusive here, but three major ones. Number one, people. The personality traits, idiosyncrasies, inconsistencies of others provide an ever-present source of potential irritation. Story of a serious-minded student was working his way through college. He had to get up every morning at 5 o'clock. This meant he had to go to bed earlier than the others in his dorm. The walls between rooms didn't keep out very much sound. There was often loud, boisterous discussions in the surrounding rooms. These disturbances didn't decrease even after repeated requests for cooperation. The student was unable to change his working hours or his dorm room. Thus, his fellow students became a repeated source of irritation to him. Anybody identify? Our first apartment after we were married was in a big old house that they'd turned into apartments. And our bedroom was just a thin wall away from the people in the other room. We could hear them talking and everything. It's just a little irritating. The second of the three major is the environment. I'm not talking as an environmentalist here. I'm just talking about what's around you. The deficiencies, inconveniences, undesirable elements, and pressures of our environment constitute a second source of potential irritation. For instance, a large family lived in a home that had only one bathroom. Her family was an example. Two parents, eight children, one bathroom, six girls. In the morning, it seemed that everyone needed to get ready at the same time. The inconvenience of this situation was a major source of irritation. One of her sisters was talking to her Sunday school teacher and said, "We have too many children." And she said, "Oh no, honey, you may have too small a house, but you don't have too many children." And the third, as much as we would not like to admit it, is self. Source of irritation. The defects, weaknesses, illnesses, personal deficiencies we have constitute a third source of irritation. The story is told of a teen that was in a hurry to drive to a friend's house. His home tried to take a new way that he thought would be shorter, but unfamiliar with it, he failed to slow down for a sharp turn, skidded off the road, the car crashed into a tree and seriously injured him. My nephew Andrew, Jim and Carolyn Quillen's second son, was not driving but was in a wreck and broke his pelvis, several places, and he's going to be a long time in rehabilitation. But the car crashed into a tree, seriously injured him. Since that time, He suffered from pains in his back and legs that doctors could not alleviate even after several operations. These pains became a constant source of irritation to him. All the thought, if only I hadn't tried to go to that friend's house, if only I hadn't taken the shortcut, if only I had been more careful to do that. Well, let's recognize that there are two classifications of irritations. There are many irritations that we experience that we can and should remove. A squeaky door can be oiled. An angry neighbor can be buried in the back. No, an angry neighbor can be appeased. Can be appeased, and a personal habit can be changed. There are other irritations, however, that are beyond our power to correct or remove. These irresolvable irritations provide the basis for a significant process that God intends to take place within our hearts and lives. When he gives you an irritation, and there's no way around it, you may take this as from him. And since we know that he controls all things and that he is love, that he intends good for you, that even that irritation needs to be understood as a good thing. Let's get into the understanding the purpose of irresolvable irritations. To think it through, the unavoidable irritations that come from other people or from our environment or from our own beings are extremely significant. These irritations are God's way of increasing our sensitivity to the needs of other people. When they are the unresolvable irritation, then God is directing our attention to them, or expanding our world of opportunity. One man had a terrible wreck. His car died just on the highway at night, and he began noticing the lights of a semi-truck coming up behind him, not slowing down. He couldn't flash his lights or anything. Lights just wouldn't work. So he scooched down, get his head against the seat, got his hands on the wheel, getting ready to take full advantage of this new power. And wham, hit him right in the back, knocked him forward. He said he got out, was admiring the new accordion design of his car. But he was trying to minister to different places, and this was his only car. So the time went by. What happened is that he had to ask people for rides. And what happened is that during that period of time, as he was going from this place to that place, different people helping him out, God fulfilled a great purpose in his life. And people were saying, well, what is this that you're doing? And he would tell them about his ministry, tell them about what he was trying to accomplish. And they said, oh, that's exciting, that's interesting. And people got involved. And some of those very people who gave him rides became some of the early backers in his work. And he said he could tell when God had finished his purpose in this, because the person called up and said, I know you've been looking for a car, and I just got a new car. I want to give you my old car. And he just hung up. He said, oh, thank you so much. And he just hung up from that and got another call from a person who was giving him a car. And then all that day, and on that day, he got five cars. He said later in the week, he was flipping through car registrations. And he said, well, there's the thing, you know. This was in God's hand at any time, and he could stop it. The third thing, developing the inward qualities that are so essential to successful living, to any relationship. All the Bible tells us about how we are to have our relationships to parents, to our children, to our husband, to our wife, to our employer. All of these are relationships. And if we're going to be successful, the one thing, the one great focus is our inward qualities. The world always tries to put the emphasis on the outward. If we continually retreat from these irritations, we bring God to the choice of either raising up new irritations, because he's trying to get this thing done, or setting aside his highest plan for our lives. That's just giving up on us. Therefore, if some irritations seem to be rather permanent or irresolvable, we can be confident that they have a permanent benefit in our development and ministry. And such was the case with the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh. Here is the insight of his own personal testimony in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," he was talking about how he was taken up to heaven and saw things, heard things, and so on, that other men didn't. And so he said, the temptation obviously was for me to exalt self. "Hi, how are you doing? I just was up in heaven. I suppose you haven't." You know, I mean, just imagine what that would be like. And so he says, "Lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure," that I transcended the normal boundary of exaltation. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore," since God explained this to him, Paul says, "most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities," being not firm, infirmities, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong in the Lord." It's the 300 soldiers of Gideon. When they won, people said it had to be God. So in our weakness, we can become the person that God wants us to, who gives that glory to him. If we react wrongly to these irritations, we just go with our natural inclination about these things, complain and all that stuff, we destroy their potential benefits. If we respond to them with insight and proper action, we allow God to achieve his highest purpose in us, to reshape our lives as closely as possible to that ideal he has given us in the life of his Son. Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So when a specific purpose is achieved through a certain irritation, God is then free to remove that irritation from our lives. There was a young lady that had a burn over much of her body, but especially on her face, and it was very unattractive, and she felt really abandoned by God in this. And they tried to, you know, put in transplant skin grafts and so on. They wouldn't even take. And then she began to recognize some of this, that an irresolvable irritation was actually calling her to develop the inward qualities. You know, we have a Miss Universe, a Miss America, Mr. Universe, all this type of thing, as though there was some standard of beauty, as though there were some standard of excellence for physical things. And there isn't. Jeb was telling me that when blonde, blue-eyed ladies came to Japan, they went, ew. Yeah, you know those Siamese cats. And you know, it's what you're used to.
The shape of our eyes. They said they always look stupidly surprised.
Yeah, it's like, huh?
They thought we looked really weird.
Well, you know, beauty is about what you know, and the shiny black hair of the Japanese ladies was that could be appreciated, but. Where all the color was washed out of it, they just couldn't stand that. This young lady recognized that while there's no standard in physical beauty, there was a standard for internal beauty. And she began to give herself to that. And at that point, she forgot herself. Always before, when people would look at her, they would hurt because she was looking ashamed of her face, you know. Well, then it stopped being about her. It started being about others and about God. And people stopped looking at her, you know, so with such sorrow in their face. And she had a yearly checkup, and they went back and they said, well, we're not going to do any more transplants. She said, why is that? And he says, for some reason, your skin's growing on its own. The underneath is now alive and growing, and this is going to stop. Now, it didn't have to. God didn't have to do that because she was already okay. But you'll find that in these things, you have these terrible irritations that you're griping about. When you accomplish what God wants done, He is free to remove them. So we read in Scripture, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Here's three pictures. Jehovah God, an early photograph. A file, rasp. And then a beautiful diamond. And the picture that you want to gain in your thinking is that God is bringing this file of sources of irritation into your life to turn you from, I don't know if you've seen the diamond in its natural state. It looks like it's just a rock, you know. And but by filing it, by chipping it, all these things, they come into this beautiful, beautiful diamond. And God is trying to make of you a beautiful thing, but he has to chip off the rough edges. He has to use the sources of irritation to plane you smoothly.